praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you.
Psalm 134 is the last in the section of Psalms that are known as the Psalms of Ascent. It's a short psalm, only three verses. It goes like this. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. We've been talking about these Psalms of Ascent in these messages that go through the season of Lent, and this one, Psalm 134 being the last one, is sort of a summary of all the other Psalms of Ascent that come before it. So there are themes and lines that are borrowed from the other Psalms of Ascent that come before this one. And if you've been reading along with us as we've been reading through these Psalms through this season of Lent, maybe you notice that. You see some of those lines and themes that are familiar coming through just in these short three verses of Psalm 134. So there's a summary here. It's all coming together in this last song, in this collection of prayers that these Hebrew people would say and sing during this pilgrimage. And that's what the Psalms of Ascent are. It is a pilgrimage of all the people who would come from the different areas of Israel and gather together in Jerusalem for one of the three major feasts, the festivals, the celebrations that they would have throughout the year. And they would sing these songs as they go. So they would express part of what that journey was about, right? The longing to be gathered with all of God's people in the city in Jerusalem at the temple, and all of the worship that would go on there, their longing to be near the presence of God, which was symbolized at the temple, the place where they would gather to meet with God. They would bring all of that together in these songs that they would sing along the way. And Psalm 134, this last one, is sort of the conclusion, right? It's at the end of that time. So we have seen other songs in this collection of Psalms of Ascent that talk about the longing to gather there and the journey that they would take to get there and the kind of worship and praise that would take place in the temple when they were gathered there. And now, in this last psalm, they're anticipating the conclusion of that time. This is sort of the wrap-up at the end. They are on their last day of gathered worship, right? There's a reference there to those who minister in the house of the Lord by night, almost setting the picture there, the scene that we see that all of their activity of being gathered and worshiping together at the temple is now reaching its conclusion. It's their last night there. They're all packing up and going to bed and waking up the next morning to start that journey back home again. So their time is coming to a close, and they're all being sent back. This gathered assembly of worshipers then finds that in borrowing all these lines that come before in the previous Psalms, that they're able to sort of put this whole thing to a conclusion for this collection. Now they're all being sent back to the place where they came from, the place where they go. I have to imagine then that there's a mix of emotions that comes at that time in that setting. I imagine it maybe as sort of the last night on a great vacation trip, right? An awesome vacation gathering where maybe family or friends are gathered there with you and you spend some extended time gathered together with them, and then at some point that vacation comes to an end. You have your last night all together, and there's a mix of feelings in that moment, aren't there? Right? Some of it is a heart that's full of joy and satisfaction with the time that you've been able to spend there and what that time has meant for you and the deepness of the relationships that are developed along. Some of it also is maybe a heart of sadness that it has to be over, that you have to leave that you have to go back home again. Some of it maybe is a heart of hope, anticipating, maybe even starting to think about and plan the next time, right? When the next vacation will be and how we'll gather again and do something again. All of those emotions that maybe we sense and feel at the end of a really awesome vacation, maybe sort of lead into the lines of what we see in this psalm, Psalm 134, what these people were expressing at the end or at the conclusion of their celebration together in Jerusalem, gathered with all the others there. That heart of praise and longing, that heart of praise and longing that sometimes mixes with a little bit of sadness that it has to come to an end, that it's over. And that hope for where it will come the next time. How do we see that then, tucked into these verses, right? Three short verses in this psalm, but how does all of that play in there? Well, take a look at what's happening there. There is a mixture there of praise and blessing. If you look at the three verses of that psalm, there is an activity that takes place in each verse. In the first two verses, it's a call to praise. A call to praise from the people to God. And it sort of centers on those priests who do that work of ministering in the temple on behalf of all the people. So it includes all the people as they do that. And in that, they see that call for praise is an activity which takes place there in what they do. The expression they give to it is hands lifted, with their hands lifted in the sanctuary. That is sort of their physical gesture that expresses the praise and the worship that they give to God. But verse 3 also calls for an activity as well. This time, it's a call for activity for God to bless the people. So in the first two verses, there is a call for praise from the people to God. And then in the third verse, a response of God who is called upon to bless the people. We see those things going back and forth in this sort of this conversation back and forth with God of giving praise to Him and God giving blessing back to His people. But in actuality, these are all the same word. Right, and it's the Hebrew word barak. And the Hebrew word barak is translated as both praise and blessing. So if you read the psalm in Hebrew, you see the exact same word take place there three times. We translate it in English in those different ways because we carry that nuanced meaning in it. Right? When barak, praise, is given from people to God, it is translated as praise. But when barak comes from God to people, then we translate that using the English word blessing. But it's the same Hebrew word, the same activity shared or echoed back and forth between God and the people here in the psalm. How does that work then? What does that look like? Maybe there's some ways to explain that help that to make sense for us. You know, In the time of the Greeks, they took the entire Hebrew scripture of the Old Testament and they translated that Hebrew into the Greek language. When they translated words like this, barak, they used the Greek word eulogia. We have a similar expression in English. Maybe if you've been to a funeral, you've heard someone express a eulogy. A eulogy where someone stands up and expresses some kind words about the person who is deceased there. And that's what the Greek word eulogia means. It means kind words, or perhaps it can be thought of as an expression of speaking well of someone else. That's what they took as this meaning for barak, praise, blessing, that it was words that are spoken in kindness or speaking well of someone else. And that captures something of what's taking place here, doesn't it? That when we think of praise, what it means for us to praise God, that it is the words that we use to express that praise through song and through prayers that we lift up the name of God and that we speak of God in those ways. And that's the praise that we give. And when we think of what it means for God to bless, that God pronounces, He uses words of blessing, words that He has revealed about Himself in His Scripture, in His Word. that we know those words of blessing, those promises that God makes to his people. That this pattern of praise and blessing, the Hebrew idea of barak, is one that is echoed back and forth. Or maybe it helps to think of it this way, that in the Hebrew language, the word barak also comes from the same root as the knees, right? The physical part of your body there. And in that, what they express on that also catches some meaning, that when we worship God, when we praise God, when we honor God as our King of Kings, that there is a sense of kneeling, that we kneel to our knees. Sometimes we have some songs with lyrics that talk about falling to our knees before God in worship. Or there are some churches which still have some kind of a kneeling bench that is laid out there. That kneeling, that being on your knees, is somehow a physical expression of that praise. And it comes from the same root word in Hebrew as praise, barak. But also, in the Hebrew culture, when a blessing would be passed through a family, right? When a father or a grandfather would pass a blessing on to a son or a grandson, often that took expression with that father or that grandfather taking the child and putting the child upon his knee and setting him there, holding the child there while that blessing was spoken or pronounced. So it fits there too with that idea of this blessing, this praise, and our knees, our physical expression of that, of what that looks like for us to do that. All of that captured here in these three verses of this psalm, about that back and forth echo of the way in which people praise God and the way in which God blesses people, all summarized in that one word, that same way, that same expression. So this takes place then. It takes place with this back and forth in this gathered assembly. But what we see in Psalm 134 is that it continues even after that gathered assembly is finished, when it's gone, when those people are disbanded. Maybe this takes on a little bit of special meaning right now when you think about that expression. Think about the time that we're living in now, a time of global pandemic when many of us are isolated into our homes and we cannot come and gather with other people. We cannot come to church and worship in the assembly of other people that we perhaps have been so used to doing. But now we find ourselves disbanded, separated, scattered, isolated, each within our own homes. And we find maybe some of those same mixtures of emotions or feelings that are buried and tucked within the words of this psalm, right? That joy that we have in remembering those times when we do gather, that sadness or longing of missing that and wishing we could have that again, that hope for anticipating when that gathering will take place again. Sometimes we see that even right now, in the moment we're living in. And so we read these words that come in Psalm 134, and we hear how the psalmist gives voice to that feeling, to those longings, to the joy of praising together with the gathered assembly, and to the anticipation of being able to do that again sometime. But then also calling out and making note for us that it does not stop happening even when we cannot be together. Right? The picture there is a picture in this psalm of where the people are getting ready to all leave again and they're all going back to their own homes and they're all disbanding and dispersing, but the praise of God continues even then. And the blessing of God continues even then. That it's not confined only to those times and places when the people are all gathered together. But beyond that, it continues even when the people are not gathered together. And it works both ways, in the praise that the people give to God, but also in the blessing that God gives to the people. There's a place in this psalm right? They talk about Zion, Jerusalem, and that's been a theme through all of these Psalms of Ascent, that they're taking this pilgrim journey to the temple in Jerusalem because in that time and in the place where they lived, the temple in Jerusalem, Mount Zion, was the place where God would dwell. His presence was there, and that's where the people would go to be near to God. They would have to go to the temple, to Zion. And so this was the place where when they would gather and express their worship, their praise, they would express it there within the presence of God at Zion. And this was also the place where the blessing of God would come from, that it would flow through Zion. So all of this praise and blessing activity that's mixed together here all flows back and forth through Zion, because Zion was seen as the place where God lived, where his presence was near, where he dwelled with his people. That's sort of the symbol that we see here, the focus of these Psalms that talk about the temple in Jerusalem and Zion, and what that means is the central place of God's blessing that comes. But what the psalmist reminds us here is that this praise and blessing doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop, or it doesn't turn off at that one place. That it continues even through that. It continues, and even when those people would leave, the praise continues, the blessing continues, even when they're not there. This is a video that we're putting together for Palm Sunday, right? The time when we approach that week when we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem, coming to Zion, that temple, that gathering. It was one of those three major feasts where all the people would come together. So we would imagine that as Jesus is traveling towards Jerusalem, as he's getting ready for that entry into the city, that this might have been one of those songs, one of those psalms that would have been sung and prayed along that journey, along that walk. We know that scene of Jesus riding a colt into Jerusalem and all the people that are gathered there, putting down palm branches or laying their cloaks down and shouting Hosanna and praise to the King of Kings. Luke, in his telling of that story, in Luke chapter 19, tells it this way, that as those praises and hosannas are being shouted out, some of the Pharisees and the religious authorities of the time pull Jesus aside there and say, Jesus, tell your disciples and tell these people to stop. Stop shouting praise and hosanna to you. And Jesus responds to them and tells them, if they are silent, then even the rocks will cry out. You see, the praise of all creation to God cannot be stopped. It cannot be turned off. It cannot be pushed away. And that seems to echo exactly what Psalm 134 is telling us, that even in those times when we leave and are disbanded and are not near each other, that praise of God continues. It carries on. But what we also see in Palm Sunday is the reminder for us that Jesus himself has now become the new Messiah, the new Zion, that Jesus is now the presence of God among and with and near his people. That's what Zion meant to them in the Old Testament. It was the place where God and his presence would dwell with his people. But now Jesus is that place, that dwelling of God with his people. He is the new Zion that has come. And the blessing that Psalm 134 speaks about, the blessing of God which comes through and from Zion, is now the blessing of God which comes through Jesus, through and from Jesus to his people as our new Zion that we see. That takes place in ways that maybe we see in this week ahead. This week that is entering Holy Week, where we come this week to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, and then coming a week from the Palm Sunday that we're on to Easter Sunday, a week that Jesus, as he's riding into Jerusalem and hearing the shouted hosannas of all the people assembled and gathered there, that those hosannas would go away in this week. That Jesus knew he was coming into a week where all of those people who were now shouting him as the king would later be shouting for him to be crucified. That all those people gathered around him in support and in praise are people who would scatter and run away and leave him in a time of need. You see, Jesus knew that he was entering a week when all those who were gathered in the assembly would then flee and walk away and be in their own places, be in their own hiding. Jesus knew that he was entering a week of darkness, of dark abandonment, of being left alone. He knew he was entering a week in the place where he would have to do what God had sent, the Father had sent him to do. You see, in this dark place of abandonment, the grace of God would do its most powerful work. So on this day, on this Palm Sunday that we are on now, we remember that through the Psalms, we see that sometimes praise and blessing come in the shouted hosannas of the great assembly. God is present there. Sometimes praise and blessing come in the dark silence of lonely abandonment. And God is present there as well. And always, the grace and salvation of God is near to his people, no matter where we are today. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are always present with us. God, we long for the times when we gather together and we are in an assembly of praise and worship together. But Lord, we also acknowledge that our praise still rises to you because you are still present with us, even when we are apart. Lord, we long to see your blessing. We know that comes to us in ways that we experience corporately together, but Lord, we're reminded again in this week that even in those dark, lonely places of abandonment and isolation, that your blessing still comes there as well. Lord, we thank you for that. Pray that you go with us in this week in our time of reflection as we once again work through the story of your betrayal, your crucifixion, and look forward with longing anticipation to your resurrection. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Two more things today before you go. First of all, the reminder that if you have an offering to give, would like to give an offering, that the ways we are receiving that now is you can give that online on our church website, fellowshipcrc.com/give, or we are still receiving those through the mail as well. So if you would like to mail a check into the church, you may do that, and our deacons will receive that and deposit that. Also remember that we do have some online groups that are meeting. If you would like to video conference into one of these groups, we have details about that on our church calendar. You can find that there, fellowshipcrc.com/calendar. So we hope to be able to see you in one of those ways in this coming week, that we can still have some fellowship time together. Wherever you are today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.